Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you today in our study and our recording that we're going to do today, that we're going to study in the letter L, the study number 12 in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and this will be our second recording concerning the Lord's Supper, the letter L, the Lord's Supper. Well, I hope that you've been blessed and that you are confident and that you are excited to be living for your Lord and Savior, and that you are looking up. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It also says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. I hope that you're doing that, and that you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and that you're expecting a blessing out of studying God's Word today. Well, today, let me recap just a little bit. Whenever we started the Lord's Supper last recording, the thing that we did was just make a sort of an introduction type of recording and study. And what we talked about was where the Scripture was found concerning the Lord's Supper, and we went over the Scriptures alone and read them. And we found the Scriptures concerning the Lord's Supper and where the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper and what it was about, what it was for, why the Lord did it, and who He did it to, who He gave it to, the order, or the appointment, he gave the rule from holy orders is what it was. It come from the Son of God. And we looked in Matthew chapter 26. I hope that you went back over and read that, and that God the Holy Ghost, I know if you read it, that God the Holy Ghost nailed it down for you and let you see the truth. He's faithful about giving us the truth if we have the right kind of heart and approach toward the Word of God. We're sincere in our heart, and we want to learn the Word of God. God the Holy Ghost is not shy at all about teaching it to us. He'll teach it to you before you even read over it. While you're reading over it, he'll give you the sense of it before you even finish. And he's faithful. He wants us to know His Word. Matthew chapter 26, we read over that, and Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper. We read over Mark's in chapter 14. We also read Brother Luke's in chapter 22. And then we went down to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, and we read Paul's account of what he had to say about the Lord's Supper and how he had received it from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 we read, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we've seen a couple scriptures in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 20, that talked about breaking bread, but it had nothing to do with the Lord's Supper or the ordinance. And the reason I threw that in there was so you could just see that the Bible does talk about breaking bread in a manner of fellowship, and see the difference in what the scriptures were talking about there versus talking about specifically the Lord's Supper. Now, today we're going to go into... just seeing in the Scriptures where these things concerning the Lord's Supper are. And the first thing we're going to look at is what is the Lord's Supper? We're going to answer that question, and we're going to find out what is the Lord's Supper. Now, we'll take our Bibles, and if you got your Bibles there, and I don't know if you turn along with me, or you can wait, and I'll give you all the Scriptures and just listen, however you want to do it. But what is the Lord's Supper? Well, first let's talk about the terminology. As Bible believers, and believing that the Word of God is the very words of the living God, that He has chosen to give us, and that they are exactly written like He wants them, and the terminology is like He wants it, the meaning and the sense of it is exactly like the Lord intended for us to have it in the English language through the King James Bible. Now, that's what we believe, and until somebody proves it different, which they're not going to, because the reason I believe what I believe, now you have your reasons, but the reason I believe what I believe is because God the Holy Ghost has bore witness with my spirit that is indeed the truth, and that's what you want. We can listen to men all day, and men argue about things, and there's so much controversy going on over these, controversy going on over all these versions, and there's over 200 different versions now. 230, I think, last I heard, I'm not sure. But, that's a lot of different, books concerning what God says, isn't it? I'm not a real smart man, but that's confusion to me. Because if you lay more than one down, now if we was talking about a man, it'd be different. But we're not talking about a man. We're talking about God. And if God can't write his book like he wants it, in my opinion, now I'm a simple fella, but if he can't write his book the first time perfectly, then I ain't real sure whether I'm going to trust him or not. Because God, in my view, is supposed to be perfect. And I want him to be perfect. And I imagine him to be perfect. And since I've known him, I know that he is perfect. And he does everything perfectly. And he'll make mistakes. So all the other versions and all the 200 and something that you could lay down in front of you, when you do lay them all down in front of you, what's the first question that you ask? Well, you have to ask, well, which one is it? And the reason you have to ask that is because they're different, so it can't be all of them. And if it is all of them, that would make God a joker, because he's trying to trick us and confuse us. And he's not the author of confusion, he said. So if God is not the author of confusion, and I believe that about him, then you lay down a whole bunch of books in front of me. I'm a simple fella. And you lay them all down in front of me, and they're all different. And I got to make a choice. And I don't know how to make that choice. That's confusion. And I think God's trying to trick me. And if he is trying to trick me and trying to confuse me, then he's not the God that I thought that he was, and I can't trust him, especially with big issues about going to heaven and going to hell. So you see how this is? So I don't know why I got off into that. I guess the Lord wanted me to share a little bit with you about it, but you can get into a long, long, long struggle about that. The idea, the main thing that you need to do, if you're having, the devil will try to get you into that battle, and it never goes anywhere. Now, it's good for you to know what the enemy has brought about, but to make an issue of it to bother you every single day is not worth it. The thing that you need to do is, if you're having trouble with a peace about what God's word is, ask the Lord to show you. Just say, Lord, and be honest with him. I don't know which copy of this is your word. I know what I think I believe, but I'm not sure. And I need a peace about it, and I need you to show me your word. And when you show it to me, I'm not going to take anybody else's word for it. I'm going to stay right with your word, because you showed me what your word is. And Lord, I know that you wouldn't try to trick me. I know that you wouldn't write a whole bunch of different things to confuse me. So I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would show me what your word is and where I can find it and where I can hold it in my hand and read it, because I believe that you give it to me. And I believe you want me to know these things. And I believe that you want me to know your word and everything that you've given to man as far as in my language. So, Lord, I want to know what your word is, and then wait on him. And when he shows it to you, keep your promise. And don't ever let anybody talk you out of it again. Now, you notice that I have not said what the Word, I've not given you any idea about what you should believe the Word of God is. God the Holy Ghost will answer that for you. He has answered it for me, and you can tell by these lessons what He told me. But you ask Him for you, and watch Him answer you and give you a piece about it. And then don't ever let anybody take it from you again. Okay? That's that simple. Now, concerning what is the Lord's Supper, we want to talk about the terminology concerning the Lord's Supper. What does the Bible call or name the Lord's Supper? Is it called the Lord's Supper? Is it called anything else? Well, let's look at it and see. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the Bible says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" There, we read that last lesson, remember? And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about the Lord's Supper, talking about communion. Okay, and he calls it communion. So, whenever you're talking about the Lord's Supper and obeying the Lord with this order that He has given us to remember His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember His death, and when we come together to do it, you would be scriptural in calling it communion, because it is a Bible term, okay? There's another term that the Bible calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. And just because there's different terminology in it does not mean that it's a different issue. It's the same thing mentioned three different ways from three different writers, or from different writers, okay? It's kind of like me and you were going to describe something in our writing, and we were talking about the same thing, and I called it one thing, you called it another, but we're talking about the same thing. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, we read this last lesson also. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." Well, it's mentioned in there. Did you catch it? He's talking about communion in there, and he called it something else. He said, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." So in there, he's talking about communion, but he calls it a different thing. He calls it the Lord's table. The Lord's table. So you'd be scriptural to call it the Lord's table. Now, I don't hear people calling it that. As a matter of fact, any church I've ever partook of communion or the Lord's Supper, I've never heard anybody call it the Lord's table, but it is mentioned here, and Paul says it that way. So you would be scriptural to call it that. Okay? We're talking about scriptural terminology. What saith the Lord? And what it, because, and the reason that this is important, you're going to see as we get farther into this lesson today why it's important, because there are heretics, people that are false, that call it something completely different. And they imagine it to be something completely different, and their reason for doing it is completely different. You see, so we need to know these things, and we need to know what the Bible says so that we know whenever something false comes about, you see. So what else does the Bible call it as far as correct terminology? We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it's called communion. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, it's called the Lord's table. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, the Bible says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." The Lord's Supper. So you see, that's probably, I'm not sure, but maybe one of the most popular ones that is being used as far as terminology. But all three are correct. They're all three scriptural. And Paul spoke every one of them. And he was talking about the same thing, you see. So he called it the Lord's Supper also. So to call it the terminology, correct terminology, you can call it communion, you can call it the Lord's table, or you can call it the Lord's Supper. Now, let me tell you why we're, you say, well, what's important about that, Brother TV? I've always called it the Lord's Supper. Okay, good. But if you heard somebody call it the Lord's table, would they be scriptural? How do you know? Because we just read it in God's Word, right? Okay, if they called it communion, would they be scriptural? Would you know what they were talking about? Yes, you would, because you know it's in God's Word, right? We just read it. Okay, well, what about this? The Bible does not mention or use at any time or anywhere the man-made terms as the Mass or Holy Communion or Eucharist. The Bible doesn't use them. They're not scriptural words. You can't find those in the Bible. They're not there. Okay, and these heretical terms should be completely disregarded by any student of the Bible or any born-again Bible believer. You see, if somebody was to talk about the Mass, and they were talking about partaking of the bread and the breaking, partaking of the bread and partaking of the cup, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? But is it scriptural? How do you know? Because it's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. That's why it's important to know what terminology the Lord uses so you speak the Lord's language. We should speak our Lord's language, you see. Okay, and Holy Communion? It's called communion, but it's not called Holy Communion. It's called the Lord's table, but it's not called Eucharist. Eucharist. Okay, and the second, another thing that we want to mention here concerning the topic that we're on is what is the Lord's Supper? Okay, well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2 and 23, this is, we say, what is the Lord's Supper? Well, this is the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 23 says, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Notice that was plural, ordinances, as I delivered them unto you. This is Paul talking, and he delivered some ordinances from the Lord. For I have received of the Lord, that's where he got them, that which also I delivered unto you. And he passed them down, just like the Lord told him, so that we would know what the Lord's will was. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he took bread, and he goes on. So, what is the Lord's Supper? Well, according to Paul, he delivered the ordinances. The ordinances. So what is the Lord's Supper? It's called, the terminology is called communion. It's called the Lord's table and it's called the Lord's Supper. But it is also an ordinance of the church. It's an ordinance of the church. It's something that the Lord has said and had it passed down. Paul said that with his own mouth right there. He said he received it of the Lord and he also delivered it unto you. And he did. You just read it. Okay, and what is it? And then he went on into it. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he begins to talk about how to have the Lord's Supper, and what it is, and what it's for, and what it means. Okay, so the second thing that we found out here is not only the terminology, but that it is indeed an ordinance of the church. Notice the phrase that he uses in there, he said, I delivered unto you. And it shows this to be the case. It's an ordinance, and if it wasn't important, then he wouldn't have passed it down. The Lord told him to pass it down to us and make sure that we knew about it, because that's the Lord's will, that he wanted us to do this and have this and remember his death. Okay, another thing. What is the Lord's Supper? When we partake of the Lord's Supper, there's a couple things that we need to understand what the Lord's Supper is when we partake of it. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Okay, we see when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do it in what? We do it in remembrance of Christ. And it says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Remembrance of me. What's that mean? Remembrance of him. It means that you, every time that you do this and you come together to do this, you pull up a memory. You pull up a memory of something. The Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So when we do this, we do it on purpose so that we can pull a memory up about the Lord. And and he tells us what to remember in a little further in our study. Okay, another thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, right after that, he said something else concerning what is the Lord's Supper. We see the terminology and what the terminology is of it. We see that it's an ordinance. Now, when we partake of it, we see that we do it in remembrance of Christ. And we also, in verse 26, it says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Okay, so when we partake of this, what the Lord's Supper is something that we do in order to bring back a memory, a symbolic memory, so that, like in 1 Corinthians 26, what we just read, it gives us the answer. It says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So another thing that the Lord's Supper is that it is a symbolic showing of the Lord's death. We show the Lord's death till he come physically back to get us. Okay, so this is a symbolic thing. What is the Lord's Supper? Well, the terminology is that it's a communion, that it's the Lord's table, it's the Lord's Supper. The Bible's told us that. Okay, it also says, it never mentions the Mass or Holy Communion or the Eucharist. These things are false. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. Look it up. Now, another thing that the Lord's Supper that we've seen is that it's an ordinance of the church. Okay? And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of Christ. And we also show something. What do we show? We show the Lord's death till he come. Okay, so what we're getting at in here concerning what the Lord's Supper is everything that we've learned so far from these scriptures, we can conclude some things about the Lord's Supper that are in the Bible. Now, a symbol, it said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Doing things and showing things in remembrance of something is symbolic. Symbol means something visible that by association represents something else that is invisible. You do something that you can see. That's why the Lord said show. We do show the Lord's death. Okay, when we partake of that bread and we break the bread together and we partake of the fruit of the vine, it shows something. It shows the Lord's death. And when we show it, it is symbolic by the way that we do it. It symbolizes something. We use something visible to associate and represent something else that is invisible. So as we're doing this, I want to ask you a question. The way the Lord, now I explained what symbol means. Now listen to this. Symbol is defined as something visible that by association represents something else that is invisible. Okay, now I want to give you another definition, and the word that we're going to define is called sacrament. Sacrament. A sacrament is a formal religious ceremony conferring a specific grace on those who receive it. In other words, it's a ceremony whereby you receive something. It's not symbolic. It's where you receive grace. You receive a grace. Sacrament. Okay, I want to ask you something. The way that the Lord has described the Lord's Supper in the scriptures that we have been over so far, would you call this what we are to do, this ordinance, would you call it a symbol or a sacrament? Which one would you call it? The Lord said for us to do this in remembrance of Him. Is that a symbolic or is that sacrament? Is that something you get the? Is that something you do to get the Lord's favor, or is that something that you do in order to remember something? Symbol or sacrament? What's the Bible say? The Bible describes it symbolically, doesn't it? It says it's a symbol. It's something. He said, the Lord just said, He didn't say, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do, and I'll give you grace." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then when he took the cup, he done the same thing. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He said, "When you come together in one place, this is not to eat." He named it the Lord's Supper. And he called it the Lord's Supper, and he told us how to do it and what it stood for. And was it a symbol? Was it symbolic? Or is it a sacrament? Well, it's symbolic, isn't it? It's us doing something with visible things that symbolize something that's invisible that we weren't there for, that we remember, that we were ordered by the Lord to remember. Is this making sense to you? It is. It's easy, isn't it? The Bible describes it perfectly, and the Lord didn't confuse us at all about it. All right, well, listen to this. Let me ask you one more question. You made a good choice on that one. It was symbol, not a sacrament. Now, the Catholics believe that it's a sacrament. They believe that if they don't partake of this, that they're going to go to hell. Yeah. They believe that if you don't do this, it's going to cost you, and you might not go to heaven. I mean, there are penalties for them in their partaking of their supper. Is that the way the Bible teaches? No, it's not. The Bible says it's symbolic. It's symbolic about remembering something that has already taken place. Now listen to this. In the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches, there's seven traditional rites accepted as instituted by Jesus. In other words, the Roman Catholics teach and the Eastern Orthodox, like over in Russia and places like that, they teach that there are seven different traditional rites that are accepted by them and that they are instituted by Jesus, which they were not. There's a couple of them that sound familiar, but they even do them differently. The first one is baptism. And if you're Catholic, don't be offended by this. You know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not against Catholic, I'm against false. And Catholics can go to heaven. I know some of them are going to heaven that have believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. But baptism is one. Confirmation is another. The Holy Eucharist is another. Penance is another. The Holy Orders is another. Matrimony is another. And extreme unction is another. Now, these are things that the Roman Catholic Church teaches and the Eastern Orthodox Church teaches that the Bible does not teach. Okay, so we found out that it's symbolic and it's not a sacrament. But these seven things that this, might as well name them, the Roman Catholics teach are sacraments. In other words, if you don't partake and do these things, it's going to cost you. All right? So another question I want to ask you. We said, is it symbolic or sacrament? It's symbolic. All right? Is it a memorial or is it a means of grace? Is what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper. Remember what we're talking about now. We're talking about what is the Lord's Supper. Is the Lord's Supper symbolic or is it a sacrament? It's symbolic. Why? Because we just read it. We went over the scriptures and Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And then he showed what to use, how to use it, and what it means. Okay? And is it a memorial or is it a means of grace? Well, according to the Bible, it's a memorial, right? What is a memorial? A memorial is something that you can see visibly that represents something in your memory. It brings back something in your memory, memorial, memory. It brings back something in your memory that is no longer there or invisible. A memorial. What's a means of grace? A means of grace, just what it says. It's a means of getting grace. Means of grace, like baptism. The Roman Catholics teach that if you're not baptized, it costs you. Confirmation, you have to be confirmed. Holy Eucharist, penance, holy orders, matrimony, and extreme unction. That's a means of grace. Does the Bible teach that? No, it doesn't. The Bible says that it's symbolic and that it is a memorial. If it was a means of grace and it was a sacrament, do you believe that Jesus would have told us? Of course he would have. But he didn't, because that's not what it is. Okay, what is the Lord's Supper? Well, let me ask you a question. According to what we have read in the scriptures, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, remember, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. According to the Bible, is the observance of the Lord's Supper, is it commanded or is it a choice? What do you say? It's commanded, isn't it? Let's read it again. And when he, your Lord, had given thanks, he brake it and said, take. Does that sound like a choice? Eat. Does that sound like a choice? This is my body. Now we're talking about some very important issues here. Which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Does that sound like a choice or does that sound like a command? It's an ordinance. Order. Take. Eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. So is the Lord's Supper commanded, or is it a choice? Well, it's commanded. It's commanded. All right, so we have brought up the question, what is the Lord's Supper? And in our last program, recording, we read the scriptures, all of them, and we went over what the Bible said as far as Matthew and Mark and Luke and Paul as the way that they put it down. And today we have seen the individual scriptures and found out some truth concerning what is the Lord's Supper and what the Bible teaches. The things that we've been over, I was going to go into the next topic, but I don't think we're going to have time today, so we're just going to cut this one off, and we'll go into the next program on the next topic. But we talked about what is the Lord's Supper. We have found out that the Bible teaches the correct terminology for it is communion, the Lord's table, and the Lord's Supper. You would be scriptural to say that in any way you choose, because it's what the Bible teaches. It's what God's Word says. Okay, but should we call it the Mass? Should we call it Holy Communion? Should we call it Eucharist? Do you see why this is important now? Okay, the next thing that we learned was that it is indeed an ordinance of the church, the body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about a building, the church. You know that. We went over the church when we was back in the letter C. It's the body of Christ. The Bible believers that come together in an assembly. Okay? Is it an ordinance? Yes, it is. He said he delivered it to us, and he got it from the Lord and delivered it to us. It is an ordinance of the church, yes. And we'll go over the other part of it. We've already been over it when we went over immersion and baptism. That was an ordinance of the church. Those are the two ordinances of the church. Then we talked about how we're supposed to do it when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to do it in remembrance of him, in memory. In remembrance of him. And we are, what does it show? It shows, go ahead and say it, the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's death. Okay? Now, we also ask a couple questions. From what we know about what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper, is it a symbol or a sacrament? It is symbolic. You don't get any more favor with the Lord by partaking of the Lord's Supper as far as going to heaven or going to hell. That's already taken place. When you believed on His Son and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and believed on Him, you got eternal life for eternity. This is not a condition of your salvation at all. And it's not a condition of getting grace from the Lord. The Lord is pleased when you obey Him. But that's a whole different circumstance. We're not talking about standing in a criminal courtroom in front of a judge anymore. We're talking about standing in front of your Heavenly Father, having obeyed or not obeyed Him. You see the difference? You're in the family now. Okay, so is it a symbol or is it a sacrament? It's symbolic. Okay, is it a memorial or is it a means of grace? It's a memorial. All right, and then the very last thing that we talked about is it commanded or is it a choice? It's commanded. Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He commanded it, and we should obey Him, and we should partake and be part of it, and remember His death until He come. Okay, well, the next thing, that's all we're going to talk about today. Let me give you the scriptures for today. Not very many, but that's what the Bible says. All of them are in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and verse 21. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 23, 24, 25, and 26. And those are the scriptures that we use today to talk about what is the Lord's Supper. All right. Well, I hope you've been blessed. I have. And if you already knew this, it's wonderful to always get confirmation and go back over the Lord's Word and just nail it down and nail it down and nail it down so that you know the truth. We haven't said anything about anybody. We've put doctrine in its proper place. We have said what is about the Lord's Supper, and we have said what is not about the Lord's Supper. That's doctrine. Okay? And we have a final authority to back up what we believe. And that is the Word of God. Amen. That's all we need to know. So the Lord bless you, and we will talk about what is the symbolism of the Lord's Supper at the beginning of our next recording, okay? So thank you for listening and studying God's Word. The Lord bless you for that. Bye-bye.